here, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, here on Talk Radio 790 KBC, Tuesday night, live from the Sweet Jam Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. 1-800-222-5222 is the phone number, the email address, as always, sam@samnation.com. I came across an article today that I think is relevant, although it was so far down on the Daily Mail website. I really had to inch my finger down. You know, I have one of those crack pads, and I'm scrolling. And you figure that when you pass about the two-page, three-page, you know, four-page, you know, screen pages worth of news, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, right? I mean, this is nothing that is current or newsworthy or just sort of peripheral stuff. And when you're at the Daily Mail at this point, you're getting gossip, basically. And lo and behold, about four screens down, I find this. The piece is captions here. Anti-Trump activist executed his Republican neighbor with two bullets to the head in a long-running dispute. And apparently what happened, he's got these two guys, and the guy, one neighbor, is a rabid anti-Trump guy. I mean, and he's one of those neighbors from hell that has all the yard signs. I mean, he has signs that are going every which way. And if you see the pictures, it's just the whole front lawn, the trees, everything has anti-Trump political messages. By the way, I think would be kind of obnoxious, regardless of what those signs say. And his neighbor, the pictures are funny because the lib, the anti-Trump guy, is kind of a bohemian looking guy. And the Republican, the guy that got shot and killed, he looks pretty waspy, don't you think? Kind of clean cut. And I don't even, the article's kind of nondescript on him being a big Trump guy necessarily, but he's active in the local Republican Party, held some minor position, there. And they would go at it until the anti-Trump guy shot the Republican. Now, I think that when it comes to the grand scheme of things right now in the news, this is kind of interesting. It's especially interesting when you bear in mind last night's program. What did I say? It's pretty straightforward. Speech is speech. And it's all fine and dandy. We can disagree. We can all have our individual views. And these individual views can differ. And I said political violence is when those views escalate into overt physical acts that are likely, in most cases, criminal. Punching somebody, kicking them, beating them, shooting them. I mean, I have to. That's not an exhaustive list, by the way. But in this dialogue about Charlottesville and everything that's gone down since then, I'm allergic to this idea that the violence is exclusively on the right. That it somehow is this unique domain of Nazi, you know, white supremacist types. And so in that respect, and bearing in mind the story that I had read earlier in the day, because I came across it sometime in the morning, and immediately noted how well it fits into yesterday's conversation, I was interested to watch Trump and his press conference that was announced this afternoon. He gave it probably about 2 o'clock or so. And I was watching for two things. The big question right now is Bannon. It's a big question mark. What's going to happen with Bannon? And it's clear to me that from what Trump said, at least from his words, he gave some support to Bannon, but he said, look, I don't know what's going to happen, which means the stories where Bannon's position is under review are legit. So I would definitely put some stock in their truthfulness. But the other part of it, see, this discussion really is Bannon, white supremacist, evil guy, alt-right, horrible person. He's one of those people influencing Trump in what he's saying. And that first statement that Trump made, that's Bannon. Right? That's kind of that's all what I'm hearing from the media. This poisoned kind of narrative when it comes to his chief strategist, Mr. Bannon. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, well, all right, so if Bannon is out and if Bannon is the source of Trump's thoughts and feelings about what happened in Charlottesville, specifically, that really both sides are to blame for what went down there. Both sides were violent. Both sides created problems. And that if anything, right? We mentioned this yesterday. There's time, place, and manner restrictions to speech. This is a constitutional law issue. And putting on my constitutional law professor hat, if you will, I'm looking at this and I'm going, look, the Nazis, as disgusting as it is and as vile as it is, they followed the law. They went there. They got the permit. They set a time and place, and the moment where that thing went sideways was when then, and from what I understand, they didn't follow the terms of the permit. They went places they weren't supposed to, and you're allowed to make that restriction, but you can't restrict what they say, but you can restrict where, when, and how they say it. But the left. The left-wing Antifa, alt-left protesters, whatever you want to call them, they didn't have a permit at all. And they're the ones that come rushing in with clubs. And I was pleased. I can't tell you how much I was pleased to see that Trump actually came out swinging on this with one of the reporters. Listen to this exchange.
I will tell you something. I watched those very closely, much more closely than you people watched it. And you have you had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. And nobody wants to say that, but I'll say it right now. You had a group on the other side that came charging in without a permit, and they were very, very violent.
Yeah, and it's an absolutely valid point. And I would give my friends on the left a little tip here. We'll call it a Sam Nation pro tip, which is, you know, don't embrace people on your side that are using violence to advance your agenda. It's a losing proposition. Sooner or later, the nakedness of your moral high ground will be visible for all, to all. You don't want to be in that place. I look at this and I say, but that statement to me tells me something very important about what's going on kind of behind the scenes. I don't want to get too inside baseball and palace intrigue, but I think one of the reasons that you know we have this program is to shave back behind the headlines. So we're talking now. This is Charlottesville, and these headlines are all been reduced to, you know, racists, Nazis, you know, alt-right is bad, and you know, violence and Trump. But there's an entire story here behind the headlines, and one of those is, you know, how will Trump evolve after this? What will happen? And I think when you look at people, I don't know, I saw Rupert Murdoch wanted to, told Trump he needs to get rid of Bannon. And the assumption was, and Trump specifically denied this in the press conference, that Bannon had written his statement. I think the assumption with people is that they're buying these liberals are buying their own nonsense. They're buying this assumption that Bannon's a Nazi and a horrible person and everything. But they're not. What's not happening is they're not understanding that look, Trump gets it. And he's calling it what it is. And what it is are thugs on both sides. The most important thing for Trump politically is not to listen to the media, not to listen to left-wing professors, not to listen to pundits, not to listen to Republican senators and establishment types. Trump will only lose if he abandons his base. And his base, these people are fringe. If you think that Trump's base are a bunch of white nationalists, if you think he won this election with white pride, you're nuts. It's crazy. That is an absolutely insane dark wormhole that you're going down, okay? It's not the case. He won on the economy. He won on broad swaths of Americans that have been left behind in the Obama economy. He won because people are tired of politicians talking like politicians. So why should he start doing that last thing, for example? Why should he start doing that now? He doesn't care. You should have heard him in this press conference. You heard all those voices back there? Somebody was at some point, I don't know which reporter it was, but was yelling at him, "Are you against the Confederacy?" I mean, that's what this discourse has resulted in. And that may play to the people who never voted for Trump in the first place. But it's not going to play to the people who voted for Trump because, like I mentioned yesterday, to them, making America great again means more bread on the table, means more savings in the bank, means better work, means things that have nothing to do with what these crazy extremists are marching over. You know, I hate to say this, and this is where I think the conversation is going to go. And again, this show, I try to keep you ahead of the curve. The next step in this is going to be, you know, well, I mean, this is, you've got to dump people who are anti-immigrant, illegal immigration. That's what the left wants to make illegal, a fight against illegal immigration about racism. It's not. It's about law and order. And more people out there, more Americans out there want that. Then I'm convinced the left doesn't get it. The Democratic Party used to be the party that championed the working class, that focused on the economy, not for the few, but of the many. That looked out for all Americans, at least so the myth went. We look out for all Americans, not just the rich. And what is it? What do they have now? They're taking half the country that voted for Trump and have spent the last 4 days busily calling them anti-Semites, racists, white supremacists, because that's what they've lumped all the people that support Trump. They've lumped into this alt-right category. And at one point, somebody starts yelling at Trump during the press conference. Well, what's alt-right? What's alt-right? And Trump goes, well, I don't know. How do you define it? And it was so funny because I was just thinking about this a few hours before that I wanted to get into that tonight. Because alt-right started out, when this whole Trump campaign got underway, as the alternative to mainstream conservative Republicans. If you had, we'll call it Lindsey Graham and Senator John McCain as, you know, your mainstream establishment Republicans, what was Trump? And Trump was an alternate. He was the alternate right. There were the Republicans that were conservative, but just didn't want politics as usual. And then came along, you know, that the media, really more than anything, the media came along and turned the alt-right into this, and, you know, lumped it in with, basically colored it with swastikas. And that's what stuck. But when this whole campaign was getting underway, remember, not only was Trump alt-right, but Bernie, remember Bernie Sanders? He was alt-left. It's a part of the, it wasn't even that long ago, and we've forgotten it all because the media lies and lies and lies and lies. Nothing that Trump will do will make them happy. So we got to keep them honest, and so we will here on Sam Nation, I promise you that. All right, when we come back, I've got this article in New York Post about Trump retweeting some Nazi tweets. This is not what happened. You don't want to miss this. Sam Rogowski back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, the alt-right. Now, Trump today during his press conference, feisty press conference, in my opinion, comes out swinging and challenged a reporter to tell him what, you know, what she thinks the alt-right is. And kind of there's a little bit of stuttering back and forth. And at any rate, I think this is an important part of this conversation because there's this piece here that I have a, you know, when you see something in print that you know something about, have you ever had an article? It could even be, I don't know, in athletics or something in high school. You know, you see an article written about something that you participated in or something that you know something about, and you start to realize it surprises you that things aren't accurate in the article. And this is a very common occurrence when you have articles written about yourself and people that you know. So at any rate, there was this Joe Tacopino in the New York Post. Trump retweets alt-right troll following Charlottesville rally. And so there's this guy, Jack Posobiec, and he... So I follow him on Twitter. This guy, I know what he stands for. I know who he is. You've got to take this from me. This guy is not some white supremacist Nazi. You start to read this article and how this guy is an infamous alt-right provocateur, he's an alt-right provocateur. And here we go. With ties to white nationalist Richard Spencer. Now, with ties to white nationalist, so I know a little bit about this. So I can tell you what it is. They had one rally together where they appeared together somewhere before Richard Spencer was even knee deep in any of this kind of stuff. And the interesting thing about it is I don't think they booked it together. I don't think they planned it together. They just showed up at the same pro-Trump rally. The argument has, the media and the political left has made the argument, is making the argument, and many of us are buying it, that if you are supported by a Nazi, you're a Nazi. Think about this. If you have in your supporters some kind of fanatic, that colors who you are. It's being said about Trump. Now it's being said about Jack Posobiec. It's being said about other people in the media. And it's a fascinating thing for me because do you remember all the crazy people that were affiliated with Obama and the media never wanted to touch it with a 10-foot pole? Saul Alinsky? Anyway, I mean, you know, the Weather Underground in Chicago was a legit terrorist group. I mean, I don't know what else to say about the Charlottesville rally, you know, but the guys with flags and banners, these are people who were mailing bombs that were going about radicalized political change in the 60s and 70s with bombs and killing people, maiming them. And this was a guy who was a political mentor of Obama's. They broke bread and they were chums and he was his professor. And I mean, and then remember Jeremiah Wright, the crazy pastor? And the media just gave Obama pass after pass after pass. The retweet was, hey, meanwhile, right, you have Charlottesville happening and people are outraged, rightly so, about what's happening in Charlottesville. And this guy, tongue-in-cheek, writes, meanwhile, 39 shootings in Chicago, 9 deaths, no media outrage. Why is that? It's a great point. It's a great point. Failed liberal policies kill more people than, I mean, it's nuts. But of course, the media gives that no attention. It doesn't sell. And instead, they turn this around into some sort of, you know, very, very detached guilt by association. It's totally crazy. And I you have to be aware of it. I think you have to start seeing these things, these attempts for this type of, for this type of smearing, frankly, for what it is. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. We'll be back right after the news by John Wolf.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, 1-800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com. Bottom of the hour, Tuesday night, plowing through the week and kicking A Money Money and taking names. That's what we do. I thought the Trump press conference today was very strong, and the topic of Confederate statues came up. Now, this is timely because the entire protest, the original protest over in Emancipation Park in Charlottesville on Saturday happened because it was in defiance of, in protest of, the removal of these old Confederate statues. Now, I have some feelings about this, and I'll share those with you. But first, Just to make clear, that was the issue. And the issue now is, some days later, is you've got rioters taking down statues and vandalizing parks and police are idly standing by. And so at any rate, this is all swirling in the air and Trump gets asked about it. And here's what he says.
This week it's Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after? You know, you really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop?
This is exactly right. And I will throw out one interesting point, which is, I don't know very many places that lose a war and then subsequently get to erect statues to their defeated heroes. I mean, it's always been called victor's justice, and in more broad terms, it means that statues are erected of the victors, of the winners of the war and the conflict. Now, I was high school. I was a senior in high school, and it would have been 1997 or 1998. Recent history. Okay, this is not like a long time ago. And I went to the South. No, I went to Washington, D.C., but there were a lot of kids from the South. And I was in D.C. for this trip, and the Southern students, there's a gal there from Georgia. And I was shocked to find out, and I'm 17 at this point, I was shocked to find out that in her textbooks growing up, the Civil War was called the War of Northern Aggression. The War of Northern Aggression. So, and if you're from the South, I think I've since asked, it wasn't just her school, okay? And I know this girl, and I've actually kept in touch with her. She's not a Nazi, okay? She's not a white supremacist. She's a perfectly delightful person. In the South, they are still a little butthurt about the Civil War. And they have these statues, and some of these statues are really old. So let's take away from it the whole, hey, you know what? The North won. And maybe this is a little weird putting up statues to your fallen heroes. But let me throw this out there. Isn't it history? I mean, aren't these statues treasures? They're old. I mean, some of these statues have been there for, you know, 150 years. I mean, who are we to come along and start wrecking history? Isn't it better to look up at that statue and go, hey, let's talk about what that statue means and what it means today. Let's talk about, hey, that guy, he had slaves. But are we really going to erase all of our history? Because Trump's got a point. You start with Robert E. Lee, but when did they come for George Washington? And you're hearing that argument. When we come back, let me tell you what the best counter argument is to this idea that we really can't promote people who have done bad things in history. This is very interesting because that's the argument the left is using. These are bad hombres. They did bad things. They had slaves, and we shouldn't honor them. Let's talk about that. Be right back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky. Okay, here on Sam Nation, we have only one lawyer that we trust, and his name is Sweet James Bergener, the attorney extraordinaire. Now, look, you get into a car accident, any kind of an accident. You have an injury that happens. Somebody did something to you, and now you're not okay. You need help. You need to make sure that you get your medical bills paid for, that you get the treatment that you need, that you get your car fixed, you get your house put back together, whatever it is. And all that costs money. And you've got to understand, the people on the other side, as sorry as they might be, they don't want to pay you. They don't want to do it. And their insurance company, double that, they don't want to pay you. Because they're a company. That's what companies do. Take money in, try to not pay money out. It's called business. We love that. We appreciate it here on Sam Nation. But you've got to be smart. So put a strong man in your corner. Put a guy that is in the courtroom, the King of Kong. Get attorney Sweet James Bergener on your side, on your speed dial. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. And his website, it's so easy. This is how you find him. You just put in sweetjames.com. There it is. That easy. Give him a call. All right. Sam Rejofsky back behind the Sam Nation microphone. And this Confederate statue business is really tickling my interest. And it's you hear the arguments now. We should take down any slave owner. I mean, that's Trump made the point during the press conference earlier today. He said, well, yeah, they're coming for General Lee now. Andrew Jackson, then George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, they're all going to come down eventually. And that's where do you stop? And you want to know, I'll tell you first my prejudice. My overall prejudice is, as a conservative, okay, I love and honor history. Now, evil things, they happened at Auschwitz, for example. But we've preserved it because it's part of history and there's a lesson there to be learned. It's not a shrine. It's not, you have that component to it. There's some terrible things in our history that we have preserved, and rightly so. But our founding fathers are not in that category. Far from it. Some of the best things that we have as a country, what make America truly incredible, were as a result of their sacrifices. And you know what? Some things really do just fall into it was a different time. Some things that are not okay today were okay once upon a time. And we as a country have moved on and will continue to move on from there. But I think that this idea of eradicating history has a more sinister agenda behind it. I've always suspected the left of wanting to draw lines in the sand, ground zero, line of no passage, where you have year zero starting now. It's what revolutionaries do. They want to overthrow the past. It's very cultural revolution. It's very Mao, you had a period in Chinese history where they decided that everything old had to go, everything that had to do with the old empire had to go, everything that was beautiful and that was culturally relevant to China went out the window. Why? Because it was created by a regime, a government, an ideology at a time in an era that was no longer politically expedient. I think that this is a very dangerous thing to do in general. We learn from our past. We learn by talking about our past. We learn by talking. And I just don't believe in censoring this history from our spheres of influence. And I'm truly worried that at some point, sooner or later, you're going to get these wingnuts on the left that want to start tearing down George Washington statues. It's not right, and we shouldn't allow it. All right, Sam Nation, more of it coming up next.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. You noticed all these companies, Walmart included, going after Trump, and the media is having some making a lot of hay out of it. They're having fun with it. And I want to put it, let me just put it in one very important perspective for you. Big corporations, large for-profit enterprises are by their very nature non-controversial. I mean, they avoid controversy. Why? Because the job of a CEO at Walmart is not to fight his own political battles, or even, I will even say this, it's not even for him to support a president who will create, let's say, a better business environment for his company. It's not that. The role of a CEO is profit. Every time the board meets to renew his or her contract, what do they look at? Stock price, revenue, and really not much else. It is not good for business when you've got a controversial guy like Trump to be associated with him. I think that's just the fact. So, the media is trumpeting this about this. It's the media created the problem. The media created the controversy, because when you look at Trump's first statement, following Charlottesville, I mean, if Obama had made that statement, wonderful, everything's great. But they make the controversy. They turn him into a racist. They make him, they make him the bad guy. He goes out. He clarifies it. Still the bad guy because, can't do anything right. And then they celebrate when these CEOs say, hey, sorry, I can't, too much heat. But the CEO doesn't want any controversy. Controversy, even the implication of it, even a hint of it, a whiff of controversy. You know what it does? It affects stock price. It does. And what does that do? Well, it can cost the CEO his job. So, I that's all that is. And I don't necessarily fault these people for doing it. And by the way, when you see Rupert Murdoch baying for Bannon's head, as if Rupert Murdoch is the voice of reason, of course, all the establishment Republicans, all the establishment conservatives, they all want Trump to fail. That's the most important thing. They are as invested in Trump's failure as the media. They might as well be two peas in a pod. So don't, you know, it's just when I see mainstream media quoting Lindsey Graham and quoting John McCain, and as if they're some foremost authority, even Republicans have turned against Trump. I am laughing and laughing and laughing because you know why? Neither of those two bozos voted for Trump. And Trump got into office in spite of their best efforts. I mean, these are two clowns, for example. There's more of them. That's part of this. But Rupert Murdoch belongs to the same cabal. You know, he's the owner of Fox News and a big media guy. But he may be a Republican-ish, but he's definitely a globalist. He's definitely one that wants more of, you know, a Mitt Romney-type Republican than a Trump one. The only problem is Mitt Romney lost and Trump won. And it's because his message on the economy, on immigration, okay, people wanted it. And it doesn't make him racist either. That's the most important point. Okay, back tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 p.m. This is Sam Nation, Sam Rogowski. See you then.